from KQED.
You're listening to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. Many of us can remember where we were when we learned of the terrorist attacks on September 11th, 2001. For hundreds of thousands of people, they were on international flights bound for the U.S. when the FAA shut down U.S. airspace and forced their planes to land elsewhere. Some of those passengers were diverted to the small town of Gander in Newfoundland, Canada, doubling the town's population instantly. The kindness these Newfoundlanders showed the anxious, stranded passengers is the heartwarming story that's told in a Tony Award-winning musical called Come From Away that's playing now in San Francisco. And joining us is an actor in the musical. Her name is Christine Toy Johnson. She's an actor as well as a writer and director, and she plays Diane in the musical Come From Away. Thanks for joining us, Christine Toy Johnson.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Megan Schwartz. She was one of the passengers who was grounded in Gander for 5 days during 9/11. She was traveling to New York with her husband and her 7-month-old daughter when the U.S. closed its airspace and diverted her flight to Gander. And I want to actually start by playing a clip from the musical that depicts the plane's landing in Gander, just to give our audience a sense of it.
One plane, then another, and then another, and then another.
Is this on? Sorry, I'm new. This is Rogers TV, Channel 9. My name's Janice Mosher, and I'm reporting live from Gander Airport, where the 19th plane has just touched down. I'm here with
Bonnie Harris. On a normal day, we get a half dozen flights. Now, we already got 3 times that many landing. In 2 hours, it's a lot of noise. You can smell the fuel. It's a smell of
trucks. Jesus, that's a jumbo. There's got to be 250 or 300 on her. That's a fairly large one. There's got to be 200 on her. Now, I'm adding this up. We got 38 planes. We got 200-300 people on the average.
And again, that is music from the play Come From Away that's playing at the Golden Gate Theater in San Francisco through February 3rd. And it's about planes landing in the very small town of Gander during 9/11. And there were 38 planes. This nearly doubled Gander's population, which was barely 10,000 at the time. And some 7,000 people arrived in Gander. And Megan Schwartz, you were one of them. Tell us, if you could, about what you were hearing on the plane, about what the situation was as you were being diverted and grounded in Gander.
Everybody, the pilots each told their passengers different things. Our pilot simply said, the airspace has been closed and we need to land at the nearest airport.
And how long were you on the plane?
We had been on the plane about 6 hours at that point. We were coming from Frankfurt. And we were on the ground, on the tarmac, you know, for about 10 hours.
And you had a 7-month-old baby with you.
Yes.
How did you entertain her, keep her amused during 10 hours and essentially just this enclosed space?
We had, you know, our little toolkit of baby books, and we read Dinosaur, Dinosaur a long time ago, probably 6,000 times. And yeah, I mean, it was stressful. People didn't have phones. And
yes,
nobody
mobile
had,
phones are not ubiquitous.
So we didn't really know what had happened either for that entire time.
And I understand when you departed the plane, it was pretty much pitch black. It was very late in the night.
Yeah, we were, you know, we were not the last ones to, you know, actually get deplaned, but we were probably in the middle and it was dark and we didn't really know where we were going. We were told to just bring what we had with us and we were put on school buses and sent to Gander Collegiate.
Gander Collegiate, the high school there.
Yes.
What did you see when you got to the high school?
We were immediately, it was like they were expecting my family personally because they said, oh, you're the one with the baby. There's a family room. And they had it completely set up. There were toys. There were Pokemon backpacks, formula, diapers, you know, a little cot for her. So it was pretty incredible. They were ready.
Yes, the extraordinary challenge of essentially trying to feed, clothe, shelter 7,000 people, which was practically double the population is really a key focus of the story, Christine Toy Johnson. And what drew you to this story that made you want to be part of it?
The compassion, the intentional compassion and intentional generosity and intentional kindness that is expressed through the characters is really something so compelling to me. I think our writers, Irene Sankoff and David Hine, did this amazing job of pulling out the real stories from these interviews that he did with all of these real people and translating it into this beautifully theatrical human story that we can see in a musical.
Yes, I want to play one more clip. This one is called Blankets and Bedding, and this helps illuminate the reaction of the Gander residents to hearing that they were basically going to have to absorb 7,000 people.
11:53 a.m.
Tuesday,
September 11th, 2001. Any available community buildings will be converted into shelters. With thousands of passengers arriving at any minute, the town is asking for help with, well, anything you can do.
Crystallize on the news that they're looking for blankets and bedding and maybe some food.
Do you know what they need and how much?
I need something to do,
because I can't watch the news anymore.
Can I help? Is there something I need to do? Something to keep me from thinking of all of those things on the tube?
I need something to do, because I can't watch the news.
No, I can't watch the news anymore.
In the winter, from the water through the wind, a stranger ends up at your door.
You get on a horn. Hello, this is Beulah Davis down at the Academy. I heard we might be getting some guests, and I thought I'd see if I could help who's ever in charge of getting a school organized. How many passengers can we take? Well, we fit about 400 students. Yes, we could probably do 600. Yeah, or sure, 700 if we really pack them in.
That's a clip from the musical Come From Away, and we're joined now by its co-creator, David Hine. Welcome, David Hine.
Thank you so much.
We were hearing a woman trying to figure out how many people she needed to take in at her school, and that's a true story. That was based on an interview that you did, correct?
It is, yeah. We interviewed as many people as we possibly could. We went out to Newfoundland on the 10th anniversary, and it was amazing. All of these Come From Ways were returning. Come From Ways are anyone who's not from there. The people who were diverted there were returning to reunite with the friends they had made 10 years earlier and commemorate what had happened. And all of the locals were out telling stories, and every story was better than the last. We came away with 16,000 stories and tried to tell them in a 100-minute musical.
What was it about how the situation played out in Gander, David Hine, that really struck you? Because planes were sent all over Canada.
I think there's a lot of things that resonated with us. One of the things was that we were in New York at the time. My cousin was actually in the towers, but fortunately got out. Justifiably, like much of the world, we were focused on what was happening in America. But there's something about this story that reminds you that it reminds you that people are good in this world. It tells you that there were helpers on those days, and that it reminds you that you can respond to tragedies like this with kindness, and that you don't even need to respond tragedies to respond in this way. You can respond every day to strangers with kindness and open your hearts and your homes, and it reminds you that that's how we change the world.
And Megan Schwartz, people did open their home to you, though you stayed initially at Gander Collegiate. I understand you were invited back to people's homes.
Yes, we were picked up by one of the air traffic controllers who my daughter actually interviewed and asked how we ended up at their house. And he said, well,
because you went back to Gander?
We did not. This was during that initial 5-day period.
Oh, what I mean is your daughter interviewed this air traffic, because she would have only been 7 months old during
exactly.
that 5-day period.
Yes. Yes. And she asked how we ended up staying with them. And he said, well, we took a lot of people home for showers, but we clicked with your parents, so we invited them to stay. So we stayed with them for 3 days while we were there.
Would you say that the kindness you received is unique, Megan Schwartz?
I had never experienced anything like that before. I think what they did that was so exceptional was they didn't just open their homes and, you know, put their lives on hold, but they also folded us into their community. And made us feel trusting and made us feel like we belonged.
There is a moment, David Hine, in the play where people were were also bused to neighboring towns because just so that there were enough shelters. And there's a moment where the mayor of Appleton, I believe, wants to hold a cookout for the Come From Aways, or for the Plain People, as they were called. Yep. And he asks an African-American man to go around and collect people's barbecue grills from their backyards. And can you, and the Come From Away or the passenger saying, you want me, a black man, to go around people's backyards taking their grills away and thinking that he's going to be, you know, shot or arrested, though Gander's police force is two people. So.
Yeah. I think Oz doesn't even carry a gun, the police officer there. But yeah, it's. I mean, again, based on a true story, we interviewed a man named Tom McKean who talked about, he was a New Yorker, and he talked about how staying in Gander was like a laser that cut out the jadedness of his New York self. And, you know, he really goes through this process of starting really suspicious of, you know, are they charging for these free showers and are they charging for putting us up, and goes to the other end to making family members. The mayor of Gander talks about this whole process that they all went on, where they initially had about 7,000 strangers landing there. And by the middle of the week, they had 7,000 friends. And by the end of the week, they said goodbye to 7,000 family members.
Well, I want to invite our listeners to join the conversation. We're talking about the musical Come From Away that's playing now at the Golden Gate Theater in San Francisco. It tells the story of how the small Canadian town of Gander in Newfoundland played host to 7,000 passengers whose flights were grounded in the wake of the 9/11 terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center and Pentagon. We're talking about the kindnesses, large and small, that the residents of this little Canadian town showed these passengers. And we want to invite you to join the conversation by telling us, what does this make you think of? Have you ever received yourself an unexpected kindness from a stranger, or did a stranger ever come to your rescue? In these times, what helps restore your faith in humanity? Give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can post your comments on our website, kqed.org/forum. On Facebook, you can email us, forum@kqed.org, or you can tweet us at @kqedforum. I really have to say, David Hine, that I love the musical. I had the pleasure of seeing it on Wednesday night. And part of that might be the fact that I grew up in Newfoundland until the age of 10, though I grew up in St. John's, not in Gander. But Christine Toy Johnson, you had to depict both somebody from the U.S., a woman named Diane, who was trying to get to Texas when her plane was diverted to Gander, as well as a Newfoundlander. First, can you tell me how you tried to perfect the Newfoundland accent? Because there's a very strong Newfoundland accent, and also just the sensibility of the people.
Well, we had an amazing team that helped us. So I have to say that Joel Goldies, who's our dialect coach, really has worked with us tirelessly to make sure that we honor the correct accents of the people we're portraying. And then also, what a gift to be able to tell the story and meet the people that you're portraying. That's unbelievable. And so I've had a chance to spend some time with Diane and Nick Marson, both on the phone before we started rehearsals and then in person when they came to the opening of the tour in Seattle and in Los Angeles. So, you know, it is a responsibility that we all feel, I think, to tell the story with integrity and really authenticity. And of course, David and Irene, and then our director, Chris Ashley, all of the people that help us, lead us there, have been everything.
Now, in addition to having to learn the Newfoundland accent, you had to learn Texas accent.
And I have to say, there are three people from Dallas in our company, so I always felt like I better do it right.
And do you want to tell us just a little bit of Diane's story?
Well, Nick and Diane both live in Houston. Spoiler alert that they are still living in Houston, but the story tells that they live in Dallas. And she was visiting her son in Europe when she was diverted to Gander, and she met Nick in the town of Gambo, which is a small town near Gander, where they were both sent to be taken care of. And she found new love and a second chance there, right there in Newfoundland. And they're just the most wonderful, delightful people, I have to say, who embody all of that joy finding the second chance and really running with it.
Well, Nicole writes, "This is beautiful. I lost my husband plus 255 crew and soldiers over Gander on December 12, 1985. So I am so happy to associate Gander with beautiful humanity once more. Thank you." David Hine, you must hear this a lot in terms of points about humanity and being inspired by their humanity. Even I remember one moment in your play, which I'm sure is accurate, when they went to the local grocery store, or a major grocery chain, actually, to get supplies for the 7,000 passengers. The store owners there said, just take whatever you need off the shelves.
Yeah, it's incredible what they did, and incredible how quick and easy they responded in that way. It was just so immediate. And I think, you know, that's what makes it a universal story, and what speaks to all of our humanity is that on that day, we were all in that same boat. We all would have, you know, I hope, given access to anyone, you know, if they came into a store and needed something, we were all ready to help. And I think, you know, so many of the people in Newfoundland say that they're thankful for being able to help. And we've been really thankful. You know, it's been such a gift for us to be able to share the story. It reminds us every day of our humanity and in our connectedness to other people, and also to talk to people who have lost people that day, who have lost people, you know, in other tragedies. That means the world to us when they tell us that this story gave them hope. And was a safe way to come through this and to laugh. We're always so surprised. There's so much laughter in the show and so many tears, but often the tears are not sad tears. You're crying because you're so shocked at how kind people are and how kind people can be, because we forget about that on our Twitter and our Facebook feeds. We forget about how, you know, the world is so divisive these days. We forget that we actually can come together as humanity.
Well, you had to make a lot of decisions when you did this play, because you not only are talking about the townspeople, but you're also weaving in the experiences and individual stories of the people on the plains, as well as against the backdrop of a horrific tragedy like 9/11. How did you decide how to weave this story together? I imagine it must have been a challenge to try to honor those three parts.
When we came back from Newfoundland, we had thousands of stories, and we tried to piece them together. We would, you know, put a clump of stories of food together, or stories about faith, or stories about love. And then we also, you know, had these stories that started at the beginning and moved to the end, people whose lives had changed from being there, and we tried to string them together. But overall, you know, the job was, how do we fit them all in there? Every story was amazing. There's a story about the air traffic controllers who, for 5 days, had nothing to do because there was no planes in the air. So they just made chili nonstop in giant vats for everyone who was stranded there. And originally it was three scenes, and then it got cut down to one scene, and then it got cut down to just one line. But what was important to us was that it was in there, so the air traffic controllers, when they come, they say, "You got in the chili!" And for us, that was what was really important, was honoring the people who were there and making sure that we got the spirit of what happened right, and for them to say, that's what really happened.
Well, Bonnie writes that she feels like the story exploits 9/11, that Gander was such a minor part of this, and that she lost people on 9/11 and wasn't sure that that was really honored.
I'm happy to respond to that. And, you know, like I said, we were in New York on that day. My cousins were in the towers. We've met many, many families and people who have lost people that day as New Yorkers on that day, and as a dual citizen and American myself. It was our highest priority to be sensitive to this. We decided we never wanted to write a 9/11 story. I think that was part of us being there. This is a 9/12 story. It's a story about how this small town responded to almost 7,000 people being dropped on their doorstep. This is and, you know, time and again, when we went to Washington, D.C. with the show, our first preview was for the families of first responders. They toured us through the Pentagon, and many of them, I think, were concerned that we were exploiting this. And instead, I think what they found, what they've told us, there was a woman who lost her sister that day, and she would have lost her life as well if she hadn't have been on break at the time. And she came very suspicious about the show. And instead, what she said afterwards was that this memory. The story doesn't try to supplant the stories of 9/11. It doesn't try to say that that 9/11 didn't happen. Instead, it says, and at the same time, people responded with kindness, and that gives you hope, and it reminds you that there were people, more people helping. There's a person in New York who came to us, and again, we for the first preview, we had the FDNY Foundation come out, and our cast and our crew have been welcomed into their family over and over again. But we brought them out first because we wanted to make sure that they were okay with what we were doing, and they told us, you know, in a time when so many people are still unfortunately passing from the effects of 9/11 in New York. They told us that this reminds them that so many people had been saved, and the people who they had lost had saved so many people. It reminds you that people have done so much, and it gives you hope, and that's meant a lot to people. The woman who we met in the Pentagon actually came to Gander with us when we did the concert there because she wanted to feel that that kindness and to see the community that had done so much in response to it. And you know, first of all, you can hear from them, but also just in Gander, there's pieces of steel from the World Trade Center because so many people from the community who have lost people felt that what Gander did, what Newfoundland did in those days, was a testament to the people who had been lost. So what we're trying to do is share a story that inspired us, and we hope that it inspires others and helps them.
David Hein is co-creator of Come From Away. He and his wife, Irene Sankoff, conceived the show and wrote the book, music, and lyrics. Christine Toy Johnson is also with us. She plays Diane in the musical Come From Away. And Megan Schwartz is with us. She was grounded in Gander for 5 days after 9/11. She was traveling to New York with her husband and 7-month-old daughter when her plane was diverted. Let's hear from Rebecca in San Francisco. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. So I wanted to call in and share that I was also diverted on 9/11, and I had enough gas to go back to San Francisco. I mean, sorry, to Frankfurt. And and so similar things happened in Frankfurt. People came together to support everybody, give places to sleep and food, and it was a really heartwarming experience in the midst of all the terror and devastation and fear and uncertainty of the time. And you just asked a second ago about the generosity of strangers and if people had experienced it. So I have, within the context of 9/11, but also as I've traveled the world for years and years, it is always there, and people are incredibly generous and kind and compassionate to people in need. So I love hearing about this play, and I look forward to seeing it.
Well, thanks, Rebecca, for sharing that. Mari writes, 30 years ago, I arrived in Bogota, Colombia, after enduring a 30-hour bus ride through the Andes. I was sick from the journey, and the only phone number I had was for a friend of a friend. I dialed the number from the bus station payphone, and within minutes, these people I had never met arrived to scoop me up. They took me to their home, gave me food, and helped me recover. I've never forgotten the meal they fixed me and the steamed milk that helped me feel human again. I was never able to properly thank these strangers, but I've kept their kindness in my heart ever since. As a traveler, I try to carry on this spirit of generosity. Megan Schwartz, do you think that experience changed you? And if so, how? How does it play out in your life now?
I was thinking when David was talking about having to carry those two truths of what happened in Gander and what was going on at Ground Zero. And even in sort of explaining to my children the gift that we had been given, it was really important for me to let them know that there are always people out there that are willing to put their lives on hold and help and open up their homes and be welcoming to strangers, because you don't see a lot of that right now.
You don't see a lot of that right now. David Hein, I feel like that's something that's been associated with a lot of reviews of your musical, that it's perfect for this time. But you must have done this years ago. You must have conceived of this years ago.
We did. We've been working on it for 8 years now, I think.
So what do you feel like people are touching on when they say it is so appropriate for this time?
I think there's never a bad time to tell a story about human kindness, but I think right now there's a specific moment when it feels like we are divided from each other. There's so much rhetoric about us and them. There's so much fear and hatred of others. And I think right now this story reminds us that we can come together, that, you know, we talk a lot about how kind the people were in Gander and in Newfoundland for welcoming these people in. But you also have to remember this was on 9/11. They had no idea who was on those planes, whether there were other terrorists. They didn't have to bring them off. And instead, you know, with almost no thought to their self-safety, they brought them off the planes. They brought them into their legion halls and their churches and their basements. And then they said, you don't look comfortable. Come back into our houses. And then they gave them dinner and then they let them stay over. And there's something incredibly brave about that and smart because, you know, instead of bottling them up and bottling up that energy, that anger and that fear and keeping them on the planes and creating 7,000 enemies, they created 7,000 family members.
Well, that's actually a great segue into this clip from the musical, which is actually a moment when the Newfoundlanders are kind of indoctrinating the plane people.
Now there's a solemn old tradition for admission or audition to transition from a come from away
to be a Newfoundlander.
The only other way, at any rate, is pass away and pray to fate and wait to reincarnate.
People cried.
You be a Newfoundlander. Hey, hey, sit down right here. You'll feel better in a year.
Try to ignore your doubts and fears.
You be a Newfoundlander.
Again, that's from Come From Away. And I shouldn't really use the word indoctrinate. I should say more incorporate. And so I think that is really the message that you are hitting on, David Hine. Monica wants to know, what age do you recommend the youngest audience member to be? Is it appropriate for a 10-year-old, a 15-year-old, Christine Toy Johnson?
I want to say, I'm glad that Monica asked that question because I wanted to say that the majority of people who wait for us to say hello after the show are younger people. And it has been so incredibly moving to see them respond with the compassion that they feel after seeing the story. So I think the study guides say it's recommended for 10 and over. I don't know who said that, but we certainly have seen people of all ages.
Well, I think the great music helps as well. David Hine, co-creator of Come From Away, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
And Christine Toy Johnson, thanks as well. She plays Diane in Come From Away.
Thank you.
And Megan Schwartz, thanks for telling us your story of being grounded on 9/11 in Gander.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Mina Kim. This is Forum. Have a great weekend.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.